I want to get to your heart, in particular that part that you may have walled off out of self-preservation or lack of knowledge or, frankly, lack of trust in God. Now, speaking of this battlefield of the mind that I want to win, I want you to get a picture of an octagon, and I want you to picture the UFC fighters, to make a sports reference. And I want you to picture one of the participants getting caught into a hole that they can't get out of. And they're worried that they may pass out or die. Those of you who are familiar with UFC, what do we call that? A chokehold. The word I'm looking for, we call that a submission. When they win that way, we say they've won by submission. Not by a knockout, not by a TKO, not by decision, but by submission, because that is our subject matter for this morning. Now, I'm going to share with you, along those lines, the dictionary definition of the English word submission. It is the act or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force, or to the will or authority of another person. I'll read it again. The act or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Now, here are some synonyms: yielding, capitulation, consent, and compliance. That is the dictionary definition of the English word submission. It can also mean presenting or submitting a proposal or an application, as we would imagine. But the focus here, of course, is the act or the fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Are you with me? Amen. Now, how many of you like the sound of that first definition? Raise your hand if that sounds good. Raise your hand if your flesh just resonates with that. The idea of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will of authority of another person. How many likes the sound of yielding, capitulation, consent, and compliance? Anybody good with that? And yet, this is exactly what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, when his flesh was saying no, but his heart and his spirit said yes to the Father's will. He said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." Amen? Amen. This is also what happens to us when we put the old man away, because the old man wants to resist. It wants to rebel. But the new man wants to embrace the will of God. Amen? Amen. Submitting to another person just rubs us the wrong way, does it not? Some of us have issues with authority just period, just rebels whether we have a cause or not. Others of us have trouble submitting to certain people or peoples. Some of us have trouble submitting to a particular gender or the other. The same words, the same admonition, the same thing could be brought to you, but if it comes in the form of a woman, ooh, I can't handle that. Some of us, if it comes in the form of a man, all of a sudden the same words are taken the wrong way. All of a sudden defensiveness and protectiveness kicks in, having nothing to do with that individual, everything to do with the scars on your heart that I'm trying to get to. Amen? Am I hitting home yet? And do I have your attention? Amen. Amen. Now, all of this stems ultimately from lack of trust in God. We ball up our fist and we get all defensive and we rear ourselves up. Why? Because we believe we have to protect ourselves. We don't trust that we have a big God on our side. Well, after today, one of the things that we will not lack is knowledge, because we often don't trust God, or we just don't know or understand what he really wants from us. But after today, that's going to be clear. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, so our topic is not just submission. I introduced the English word version or definition of submission because I know that's what we immediately hear when we see the word. That's what our immediate reaction. And I know that's also what gets in our way, so that why we do not submit. Amen? Because that is the definition. It fits sociologically with us. But today, the topic, the real topic, is biblical submission. Isn't that the type of submission that a Christian person should want and display? So our text, in order to do that, is not far from our text from last week, believe it or not. It's also in the book of Ephesians, just a little bit over from where we were last week. Today, we're in chapter 5. And our main text will be found in verses 21 through 29. Now, in order to properly take in our text, and that is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 29, we must, of course, as often is the case, go back to the context so that you don't take it out of context. Amen? And so to do that, I'm just going to read through without interruption and without commentary, and we can do this together. You don't have to read out loud, but read along with me. Chapter 5 again, but verses 6 through 20. The purpose of this is to get the proper context so that when we get to our text, we don't miss the point, because that could easily happen. It starts out, Paul speaking to the Ephesians, of course, from prison. This is a prison epistle. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, that is carefully and thoughtfully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, as Sister Carmen said in her prayer this morning. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. That is the context. And so the very next thing he says is part of our actual text. What does it say? Let's read it together. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. How good are we at this? Submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Notice that this very first scripture in our text points out the fact that this submitting that we're supposed to do as a body of Christ is a two-way street. So often we hear that word submit, and all we think of is ourselves at a disadvantage and someone else at an advantage. And it clouds our mind, it affects our thinking, it affects our actions. It says very clearly, submitting yourselves one to another and in the fear of God. That in the fear of God could better be described as because you love, honor, and respect God. Do you love, honor, and respect God? If you love, honor, and respect God truly, you should not have a problem with submission. biblical submission. If indeed you love, honor, and respect God, because this is what the Bible is indeed saying, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And you cannot have biblical submission, therefore, without the fear of God. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. Now, we go to the next verse, which is where most people like to start. Are you with me? Most people like to start with verse 22. Now, when we look at verse 21, and it's obvious that it's a two-way street, and it's obvious that this could be applied to all of our relationships, I just want to point out before we go to verse 22 that occasionally relationships work out just fine, where I submit to you appropriately, you submit to me, I, you know, put my your needs before mine, and you do the same, and everything's really, really nice, right? You have some friendships, some relationships where everything just kind of works out. Well, what about when it doesn't work out? What about when it seems a little lopsided? Who goes first? When you have an argument and both people are have a part of the wrongdoing, who apologizes first? When you're in a relationship and you're not so sure where you stand, who says I love you first? This is the nature of relationships that God wants to touch on. I'm trying to get to your heart, but I went to your head first with definitions, but I'm trying to get to your heart. Ultimately, the one who moves first in these situations is the one that trusts God the most. Let's look at verse 22, because this is where folks like to start. Now, notice we didn't start there. We started with the full context. And the first thing that Paul says is submit one to the other. Okay? But if some misogynistic preacher that just likes to dominate folks and put women down, they start and end with verse 22. Am I talking to anybody? Amen. Does anybody realize that that has sometimes been the case? Yeah. Now, verse 22 does say, indeed, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, that gets sticky. Does that make things a little bit sticky? Well, let me say this. I know you're not married yet. Some of you are married here and some of you are not. You should not marry someone that's not good for you. You should not marry someone that causes you to be out of the will of God because you cannot submit. Don't marry anyone that you cannot practice submission with. Remember, I said it's a two-way street. We know it's a two-way street, and yet it's very easy for us to only focus on the part that we feel disadvantaged in. Am I right? Remember, our topic is biblical submission, and remember, it is God's will that we submit. Amen? Amen. So now we started out with the English word, which points out the worldly aspect of submission that gets our flesh so riled up. And it gets that old man reared up, and it's really hard to be the new man. I'm hoping to appeal to the best parts of you. Then the best parts of you will indeed embrace biblical submission. Amen? Amen. Now, in order to do that, I need to go away from the English word that was chosen, submit. We gave the right, accurate definition of submission in the English language. But we need to go to the Greek to understand exactly what Paul was saying and therefore what we really should be reacting to. Amen? Amen. Right. Now, the word in the Greek is hupotasso. I'll spell it for you and for those of you who want to look it up later. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. Hupotasso. And hupo, which is where we get hypo, which means below, beneath. Okay? That's the etymology. And it means to place or rank under. To put one's self under. To place or rank under. Or to put oneself under. And it is a conscious thing. You know you're doing it. It is a voluntary thing. Nobody makes you do it. It is intentional and it has positive intent. When you put yourself under the authority, when you put yourself under someone else, or when you put them before yourself. When a mother puts her child first, she submits herself to the responsibilities and the burdens and, frankly, the joys of motherhood. Submission is not new to us. Biblical submission is not new to us. But when we say that word submit, particularly when we connect it to relationships, then we choose what definition we want to go by, depending on whether it's our child or whether it's a brother or sister in the Lord that we like or not, or whether it's a marital relationship that's going well or when it's not going so well. We change our definitions as we go along. So it is a conscious and voluntary thing. It's intentional and it is positive intent, not negative. And it is all done because we what? Love, honor, and respect God. Now, it's really nice if you could marry someone or have a relationship that you can love, honor, and respect. And guess what? For those of you who are not married, don't go there. Don't marry somebody that you can't love, honor, and respect. Just say next. Don't marry someone that you can't practice submission with. Next. I'm looking at my daughter. Amen. I think she's already got this message, though. And I think the guys get the message, too. Amen. You shouldn't marry someone who doesn't have those qualities that you can't respond to. And yet, biblical submission occurs because of your relationship with God, not because of that person's qualities. Amen? Amen. Biblical submission comes because you love the Lord. Now let's look at the latter portion of verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, what? As unto the Lord. Andrew, you really like that part, right? As unto the Lord. Now, before we abuse the scriptures, let me just make clear that this means as, like as unto the Lord. This doesn't mean he gets to be Lord and you don't submit to him like he is God. He doesn't replace God. But the same way, in the same manner that you submit to God, you place yourself consciously, voluntarily, with positive intent under his authority, under his oversight. So don't marry someone that you can't practice this kind of submission with. Don't do it. Amen. He is not God. But you are to submit, practice submission, choose to put yourself under his headship, all with positive intent now. This is not being abused. This is not, I'll do this because some harm is going to come to me if I don't. This is not tapping out in the octagon. This is a choice. In order to be in God's will, in order for the relationship to work the way it is intended to work. Amen? Amen. Let's go to verse 23. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and with the typology, as they use in theological terms, the woman represents the church and the man represents Christ. And you'll see as we go through this that is very, very clear. So for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So I didn't make that up, did I? Okay. And he is the savior of the body. Anybody disagree that the church is the body of Christ? And anybody disagree that Jesus is the savior of the church? And yet the Bible says that the man is the head of the woman, just like Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. So this man, it sounds like the Bible is saying, is the savior of the woman. Oh, Lord. How many of you are thinking, I don't need that? It's basically saying he is the deliverer or preserver. Now, this is the 21st century, and a woman can get a job even easier than a man. By the way, that has its own ramifications, by the way, in the household. But we're not talking about that today. But you're thinking, I don't need a deliverer. I don't need a preserver. I don't need some man to deliver me or preserve me. Who's thinking that? Raise your hand if you're thinking it. Okay, I've got one, two brave souls. Man, this is your chance to be delivered. We said we're moving forward, right? And all you have to do is raise your hand and let I'm trying to get to your heart. If you can't raise your hand to the truth, I'm not there yet. Woo! You may be thinking, I don't need some man to deliver me or to preserve me. He's not God. But here's what I'll tell you. In order to be the best God woman, the best godly wife that you can be, you do need a man that will love you like Christ loves the church. If you want to get the best out of yourself, you might think you're pretty good right now, but if you want to get the best that God can get out of a woman, you need, if you're going to have a man, you ain't got to have one, but if you're going to have one, you need a man that will love you the way Christ loves the church. If you're going to have one. I will say on that comment that if you think, in many cases, not all, some should be like Paul, right? But in many cases, what we do is we take our cookies and we go over our toys and we go over in the corner and we cower and we have nobody and we're not being our best and we're not really happy, but we claim victory over here in that corner. I don't need anybody. And you know you're praying. You know you're hurting. You know you're meant to be a match with somebody, but you're not willing to do what it takes to be in a relationship. So don't run off in that corner and claim victory. Because for most of us, the best of us is brought out coupling with somebody else. Adam had everything, but man, it just wasn't good enough for him to be alone. The problem is, while he was giddy about Eve, I mean, he just danced. He was happy. His strength became his weakness. So it's not easy. If it was easy, we'd all be singing Kumbaya. But it's not. But don't go off in some corner. I'm not going to let you have that because that's not biblical. Don't go off in a corner and say, well, I just ain't got to have that. No. If you come and fully accept God's will, then you will allow the right person, not just anybody, to come up and team with you so now God can do something great with the two of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if you're single, then that person is Jesus loving you as Christ loves the church because he's Christ, and that's pretty easy, right? But if you get married, you do need to be loved this way in order to be your best self, the best version of you that God can use. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 24, therefore. Now, if we started there, you wouldn't understand what's going on. Therefore always means that there was a thought before that. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the who? Wives be unto who? Their own husbands and what? Oh, Lord. Woo, Pastor, are you done yet? Isn't it time to wrap it up? Oh, my goodness. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the manifestations of our flesh, because just because we get saved doesn't mean we still don't war with the flesh. Now, I know that the human part of you women are struggling with this, okay? But think about this, the typology. So do you think that the church struggles similarly with doing what Christ would really want? All right. But we claim in our corporate work as Christians here at For God's Glory Ministries that we want to be on post and on point, right, for God, doing exactly what he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it, where he wants it, and how much of it that he wants, regardless of what our resources seem to be, right? So if we can dive right in and give our best to folks who are homeless that we've never met, to people who want toys for Christmas that we've never met, to folks who might need money for school that we've never met, then why is it that we can't take that and inject that into our personal relationships? Think about that. The Bible says that these two things are inextricably bound. We are to manifest the relationship the same way the church is supposed to be unto Christ. We find it a little bit easier to bring our best selves to people we don't know, our best selves to the churchy stuff. But that relationship, God calls you as a dyad, not as two separate people, to do certain works. Some things, men, you cannot do without your wife if God put you together with someone. You can try it, but you can't. Same thing the other way around. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you're following me. I'm trying to get into your head because I'm trying to get to your hearts. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We're trying to get the best version of you, women. And this all comes, by the way, all of this, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Notice I didn't emphasize that. But it's all because of your love and your trust for God. That's why you do it. Not because the man is perfect, although when you're dating him, date him long enough to find out if he's worthwhile submitting to. Date him long enough to know. Don't just get all caught up in money or looks or positions or job titles. Don't get caught up. Make sure that it's the right thing. Make sure he's good for you. I didn't say he's God for you. He's good for you, good enough for you so that you can treat him just like you treat God. Amen? That's what the Bible here is saying. Amen? This is done because you love and trust God, and it is in order for you to be your best self and in the will of God. How many want to be our best self? How many want to be in the will of God? Now, what you don't want to do, ladies, nor gentlemen, is you don't want to do outwardly the submissive things, but constantly, through our ego and pride, remind the person, I'm not doing this because of you. It's not about you. This is because I love God. And take all the shine right off of it. I'm telling you this because I was supposed to tell you that. Because God's goodness will get short-circuited. Because we'll do the letter of the law and leave the spirit way in the dust and claim victory, technically, while we ruin the relationship even further because of our pride and because of our egos, because we still drag the old man right along with us, just with new clothes. God loves us, and this is why he's talking to us about this. Let's go to verse 25. Ladies, you can breathe. Amen? Amen? And we don't want that ego pride stuff to get in there because it will create failure where there should be success. And you're going to learn about why just a little bit in a few minutes. I think I'm going to make good time. It looks that way. 25, men, brace yourselves. Husbands, love who? Your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church. And what did he do? Ah, is that what he did? Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen, if you can't love sacrificially, stay single. If you can't love sacrificially, if you can't put her needs before yours, if you think you haven't lived enough, you haven't had enough, you haven't enjoyed enough, if you think you've been deprived, you need to get all that over with. Because if you're going to be thinking about you first in that relationship, don't go there. Don't go there. Get yourself together. Get all of it out. Because you need to come into this loving sacrificially. Christ gave himself for the church. And if we do the same, then we can get the best woman that our wives can be. Amen? Now, it's not easy to give love of this type to someone who's not open to sacrificial or open to biblical submission. So, man, how are you supposed to pull that off? How do you love someone if she's not all the way there yet? If she can't choose to put herself as in order under you, if she can't make that conscious, voluntary decision to do that, how do you love someone like that sacrificially? How do you do that? You do it the same way Jesus did it. You choose God's will over yours. And if you have a dyad like that, who makes the first move? You do, men. If she's not all the way there, that's no excuse. You are expected to give first, just like Christ gave himself for us while we were yet sinners. We were yet sinners. I don't care how good we thought we were doing. Even Peter thought he was doing well. But he overestimated himself. And we know that. Christ gave himself for brothers who couldn't even pray with him long enough in the garden, who couldn't even keep time with him in his loneliest, most painful moments. He gave himself. Even for those who killed him, he gave himself. So while it's difficult, Jesus made the first move while we were yet sinners. And so, men, we are also expected to make the first move. If you don't want that responsibility, if you can't live up to that, if you can't love sacrificially, then don't get married. Stay single. And yet, if you get over in your corner and say, I can't do that, if God's calling for your life is to be with a partner and you're just trying to hold on with pride because you just don't want to go there, you need to ask God to help you. Help me, Lord. Keep me from being afraid. Let me understand that you are my shield. You are the one that's got my back so that I can boldly have the courage, which means doing the right thing despite the fear, doing the right thing despite the challenges, doing the right things despite your ego, doing the right things despite what you may feel or what it may look like. I will go there, Lord, because you've got my back. I am a God man. Women, don't marry someone that's not a God man like that. Amen? So I know it's hard. But you're called to do it. The Bible says so. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How does he love the church? You know he gave himself for the church. Can you do that? And it will be lonely sometime. It will be hard. Those that should be with you might not be at those critical moments of decision. And yet you've got to do it anyway. You are not Christ, but you are called to live up to his example. Can you handle that? Verses 26 and 27. It says, now we just said that love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And I know that this can be a type of baptism. I get that. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or blemish, or any such thing, rather, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What's the point? The sacrificial love is intended to be the first move that allows the woman to be her best self, and that's when she's that glorious, beautiful, wonderful thing that you want. Now, if you want her to be that perfect and glorious and beautiful and submissive thing, and she's got to make the first move, we didn't make the first move with Christ. We didn't get to be saved and spotless, and then he gave himself for us. We could never be spotless unless he gave first. So there's a reason for all of this, is my point. He's not just talking about ethereal, spiritual things. He's saying there's something in it for us. Christ died very sacrificially, but guess what God got out of it? Whoa, a beautiful us that he can hang with forever, and sin can't be sit in the presence of God. So he made it so that we can be with him. We blew it. He paid the price so he could then have us back. Remember how we learned about the prophet Hosea? Remember that? God made him marry a prostitute. It all comes together. It's the same point. Many times over and over and over again. So there is an outcome and a purpose to all of this. It is to get us to the point to where we can embrace and enjoy and admire our wives as her best self. You've got to first do your part. She may be great now, but if you haven't done this, if you haven't loved sacrificially, you still haven't seen the best. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about finding and revealing and manifesting the glorious and wonderful unwalled version of her. With all the walls down, the unwalled version of her. Amen? Amen. Sometimes the walls come in the beginning of the relationship, where you got to chip away and chip away and chip away. Other times, we come into the relationship with no walls, we just embrace, and then we hurt one another, and then the walls come up. So some of the walls you help build. So at some point, you've got to decide to make the first move. Amen? Amen? Amen. We want the unwalled version, right? Amen. Because that unwalled version has the disposition towards you and others that the church should have towards God. Amen? Amen? And the world. So the church is supposed to be submissive to God's will, and it's supposed to love people. Just like that woman is supposed to be able to consciously and thoughtfully and intentionally put herself right here under you and your authority and your headship and be loving. If she does it begrudgingly, if she does it with a bad attitude and the wrong disposition, that's not her best self. Same thing with the church. You see the connection? Amen. And we want to manifest this in our individual personal relationships and as a church. That's why when God says it's time to do something, we do it. Amen? We step forward. Verses 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. I know you love your own bodies, men. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Again, husbands, you are not Jesus, but you are called to follow his lead and his example and to make the first move sacrificially. Her needs first. Her wants, where it is appropriate and godly, first. Not you. You don't get yours first. She comes first. And there's a reason for this. You're going to get the best her. She's going to be able to be the best her. Oh, you can get along without it, but you're going to be living way beneath your privilege, way beneath your calling. Amen? Amen. So you're called to make that first move. But understand this, men, and this harkens back to some conversations we've had. You are to sacrificially love your wife. Did you hear me? But that does not mean, nor will it ever mean, that you ever take one step off of the foundation of your godly relationship with the Lord. Sacrificial love does not mean doing whatever she says you ought to do. Sacrificial love does not mean eating that fruit when you should not. You should not step off of your foundation of the one and only advantage you have, which is your direct connection and relationship with God. That's not what sacrificial love means. Sometimes sacrificial love means saying no for the betterment of the whole. Sometimes sacrificial love means saying yes to something you're supposed to do that maybe neither one of you or at least one of you don't want to do. Sometimes sacrificial love means that. And just like we with Christ, she will see it later. She'll realize it later and she'll actually respect you today. Stop trying to be liked so much. More important that you be respected and that you respect God. Now, if you do it as unto God, and if you do it because you love, honor, and respect God, you will do it with the right attitude. Now, if you're trying to do, remember I talked about the ladies before? So if you try to do this because the Bible says you got all this authority and you do it not the way God told you to do it, you have also ruined the whole thing and get her flesh reared up. And you're supposed to be bringing out the best in her. And instead, you bring your old man with new clothes into the same thing, and you're technically following the letter of the law with your authority and ruining all of the spirit. What if God rolled like that with us? What if every time he could slap us around, he slapped us around? What if every time he could point his finger, he pointed his finger? So yes, she chooses now, by the way, chooses at her best to put herself in that position. But then your job, you're supposed to handle that the way Christ handles the position. Are you with me? Amen. Submissive love, sacrificial love, because we're submitting to one another, but differently. One chooses to be in a certain position. One chooses to take another position that the flesh don't really want to take. One chooses to take a position because it is what God said is supposed to happen, right? The other one also chooses to submit as unto God, out of honor and love and respect for God, to even if you feel like you have a right to something, even if you feel like you deserve something, even if you've been deprived of something, she comes first. And then she gets to be that shiny, bright thing that you deserve and that she deserves to be and that God deserves to benefit from. And you both have your part to play, submitting one to another, but differently because the roles are different. So, men, you do have to follow God. You're not following her. You're not following your flesh that wants to be liked because she's going to be tough. What's my point? My point is when you are dating or whatever you do, pay attention. Because if that's not someone that's good for you, if that's not someone that you can love sacrificially, men, if that's not someone you can submit biblically to, women, then it's not going to be maximized. That relationship is not going to be maximized. We both have a part to play, and both of us can come into it and meet the technical requirements of the law, the letter, and if we are not right, the spirit won't be right, and the other person's flesh will rise up, and then you start to get diminishing returns. Those walls will go up, and you'll be constantly scaling the walls and constantly falling down and constantly skinning your knees and blaming the other. And it all is because we didn't do what we were supposed to do according to the Bible. My hope is that you've gotten, that I've gotten into your heads today. And somehow through that, have we won that battle and gotten to your hearts. And that you're all now willing to practice biblical submission. And to God be the glory.